Welcome to the Cheeky Chops podcast. We've got some really good stuff for you in this episode of the show. It's a little longer than previous shows, but this one is literally packed with cheesy goodness, so I think you'll enjoy it. Prepare yourself, listeners. You will be entertained. So first, we've got an interview. Oh yes we do, with my writer friend Chris Dausch. Chris recently joined me in a virtual space to talk about his new project to create a cool new children's book. That's up first. We also talk about comedy writing and the challenges of the industry right now. Yeah, I know. It's almost like we know what we're doing. And then we've got a comedy sketch which was cooked up on a sketch writing course that I recently attended. It's been a fun few weeks meeting with other writers online, but now it's time to share one of the results. So we're just going to get stuck in this week. No messing about. Here we go. So I'm just going to talk a little bit about Chris, and then we're going to get into his project just to kind of introduce him. So I met Chris on Twitter. He's one of my virtual friends, but he's kind of become somebody I know. When I first started out with comedy writing, I looked at his blog, The Comedy Loser, which has got really helpful bios about comedy writers and how they got to be where they are today. And Chris has given me a few hints using the platform formerly known as Twitter about shows to write for and those sorts of things, which I've really appreciated. So thanks, Chris. More recently, quite a few of us who are kind of in the open comedy kind of contribution area have found it a bit more challenging to get contributions into shows. So a few of us have started doing our own things. And Chris is one of those people. So yeah, Chris, I know you're looking at your own project and it's around a lovely illustrated book. So that's what I thought we'd talk about really today. So yeah, do you want to kind of introduce yourself and tell us a bit about the project you're doing?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Chris Dausch. I'm a comedy writer, but I'm also a kids writer as well. So I go back and forth between the comedy shows and also kids, primarily animation.
Right.
So I've been doing it for almost 20 years now in different forms. Started off by making my own, I was going to say YouTube videos, but they were MySpace videos at the time. With my comedy partner. It was just a friend of mine and we wanted to get started in the industry. So we thought, well, nobody's going to know who we are.
Right.
Let's make our own stuff and put it out there and get ourselves out there that way.
That makes sense.
So we started doing videos and we got into writing for TV. And so that's been fine. And then, like you said, it's got to that point where things are getting harder all the time. There's more and more people trying to do things. There's more opportunities for people to do it through technology.
That's right.
So it got to the point where I thought, like you said, I need to do my own project. And what I did was look at creating a book. So I had the idea for a book. I'd been working on it for a little while.
Okay.
And what I thought I would do is basically emulate what I did with TV writing. So rather than wait to be discovered and to have an agent or a publisher come and approach me, I'll just do it myself and get it out into the world. So the book's called Cheese. It's aimed at kids aged 3 to 6 and it's a picture book.
Cool. I've seen a couple of pictures of it just online where you've kind of started to promote it and it looks really cool. I love the kind of look of the graphics and those sorts of things. It looks really fun. So tell us a bit more about Cheese, the book itself, so we can kind of get to know it.
Yeah, so Cheese is the story of a character called Cheese, who's a piece of cheese who is going through his grandma Brie. She's got a photo album and he's going through that and he's seeing all the pictures and they all look so perfect to him. So he thinks, well, I'm going to go out and get pictures of my friends and they'll be perfect as well. So being a piece of cheese, he thinks all you need to do is say cheese and you get the perfect photo. So he goes around and he meets up with all of his different friends. He's got an avocado, some sausages, a potato, things like that. And each time he says to them, say cheese. And then within their own character, they respond in a different way that he's not expecting. So he becomes increasingly frustrated by this because he can't get the picture that he wants. And it's all about him on this quest to get the perfect photo. And in his kind of passion for it, he misses what he's actually trying to capture. So at the end, kind of like in preschool TV shows, there's a nice little lesson, there's a learning moment. But it's all the way through. I mean, I'm a joke writer, so it's cheesy puns and things like that, loads of wordplay all the way through it. Visual jokes, background jokes for the parents as well as the kids.
Perfect. I was going to say a lot of people would probably love that, including the adults as well as the kids. So it's I think it's always good to write for them as well, because sometimes they're reading it, right, or kind of, I don't know, nodding off from their busy day while their child reads a book. So that's really cool.
Exactly. I mean, as parents, quite often we're the ones that are doing the shopping. We're picking them up off like the library shelves or off the bookshelf. So we need to like the books as well. There needs to be stuff for us.
Yeah,
And you
I
look at
think you're
things
right.
like Bluey, Bluey is as much a program for parents as it is for kids, and there's lessons for parents in it in the same way that there is for kids. I think, it's a lot of it is about perfection. What does perfect actually mean?
Yeah.
And I think as parents, quite often we get caught up in that idea of a perfect picture or a perfect day out. And so actually there's some learning for us as well as the kids.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. When I used to watch shows like Apple and Onion and things like that, there was always like a little message in there. And sometimes it was a bit warped, but sometimes it was like, well, here's a little hint about what life is like. And yeah, there was always a little bit of learning in there. And I think sometimes the kids pick that up as well, but sometimes the adults are like, oh, yeah, okay. I think I can see the message here, which is good.
And it gives you that conversation point as well. So if you're having a situation, you can relate it back to your kid. You could say, oh, do you remember when Apple did this? And then
Yeah.
Onion was feeling like this. And you can relate it back, and actually, you've got a shared understanding of that.
Perfect. Yeah, that's really cool. I like what you said as well about the idea between linking the word cheese and the perfect photo. And I think kids have almost that, like, they think that's magic, don't they? If you say cheese, then the photo will happen. I love that kind of exploring that kind of connection with things.
And then also, everyone just loves cheese, and cheese is fun, and it's you can have jokes with it. There's all kinds of puns you can find. I one of the things I do each year is I write Christmas cracker jokes for a competition, and I
Oh,
actually won last year.
I've seen that. Yeah.
So puns and that kind of thing, they get a groan, but there's some fun to be had with them as well.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think a lot of the grown-up programs that we sometimes write for, puns are not so much their thing. So sometimes it's good to do some of those and get them out of your system. And it's kind of nice to have an outlet for that.
Exactly. I mean, I can't write for breaking the news after doing the Christmas cracker jokes because my
No,
mind
exactly.
just tunes into crackers and puns, and obviously programs like Breaking the News do not like puns.
Yeah, that's very true. They've sneaked a couple of puns in, though, lately. I've heard a few in. I was like, you let a pun in, you see. And so, yeah, I think they bend the rules sometimes. But I think you're right. Mostly they're not looking for it.
I mean that's the oldest producer trick in the world. They say what they want and then they do the opposite. I think every producer does that. The amount of times I've had a brief where it says we don't want songs, and then you listen to the episode and there's a song in it and something like
Right.
that. And
This week we're
a
doing
good
something
idea
different.
will always win.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I suppose you're right. As long as it's well executed and it's a good idea, often it will get in there. Yeah, that's a good point, really, for writing tips. Read the brief, and then, if you've got something that challenges it, still send it in.
Within reason. I think
Yeah,
sometimes you get
yeah.
the people who send their novel in to DMs are open and things like that.
Yes, so funnily enough, they don't fit it into the 20-minute show. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so we talked a little bit about the kind of challenges at the moment with writing and how some of these shows are getting not oversubscribed, but the kind of numbers are perhaps a little bit against us as sort of submission writers. But you mentioned a bit about, when I was talking to you before, about opportunities and what else you thought might be worth kind of exploring at the moment for comedy writers.
So I think the habit most people have is they look at the BBC opportunities, the big opportunities.
Yeah, I'm probably one
So
of those people, so that's good to hear.
DMs are open, the BBC Writers' Room, all of those kind of things get loads of submissions. I saw a stat the other day that the Writers' Room one got, I think, basically 6,000 submissions. A few years ago, back in 2018, my partner and I, our script was in the top 2% of that. And I thought, okay, I'll look back to see how many scripts that actually was. And it
Wow.
was 2,800, I think.
Whoa. Right.
And that was
Okay.
2018. And so
Yeah.
just within those few years, it's more than doubled.
Yep.
And that amount of people are now putting in for all of these opportunities. And I think it really went up over COVID because I think a lot of people reassessed, had more time, and had that access through things like Zoom, and there was more opportunities being put out there that were remote rather than in person.
Yeah, true.
So I think a lot more people are now pursuing it, and obviously with that there's less opportunity. By the fact that there's more numbers. So a lot of the time when people don't get into these things, they see it as a rejection, but it's not a rejection. It's just that the numbers don't work out. You can't get that many people into these opportunities.
Yep.
So DMs Are Open comes up, for instance, and they'll get about 800 people submitting an episode.
Right.
It's a 15-minute show with an intro, with, you know, staff written bits within it, the host does bits within it. So it's, what, 6 sketches that go into an episode, I think?
Yeah, that's right.
Out of 800 or so people. It's just it's unlikely to happen. And I'm not just saying that because I didn't get anything in. You know, most people I know didn't get anything in to this series.
Yeah, the numbers are quite fierce now, aren't they, really?
Exactly, yeah. And, you know, I speak to some quite top-level writers who submit to these shows, and then I'll get stuff into them. Mm-hmm. So it's not about the quality of what you're submitting. You know, some people probably are sending some rubbish, but it's a lot of the time it is numbers. But there are other opportunities. So we've mentioned Breaking the News, but Breaking the News is growing all the time. So more people are putting in for that as well. I don't think it's quite at the same level, but it's getting there.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
But then there's other shows like Noising Up on BBC Scotland. There is probably about 50 people across the whole series will submit to that show. So suddenly, if you're hearing that, your odds are getting a lot better. So it's a case of just being open-minded, not just thinking I'm going to go for the top tier stuff. I'm not just going to go for what BBC are promoting heavily.
Yeah.
But I'm going to look at all the other opportunities. There used to be more things. There used to be radio stations like Union Jack that would do, you could write the little bits that would go between the ad breaks. They would have like a little one-liner joke.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
And they folded a few years ago, so that went away. But it's a, you know, if you do joke writing and you've got credits, reach out to radio stations and say, you know, this is something I do. Have you got any opportunities? Because actually they might have something. They might just be waiting for someone to turn up and ask them. Start thinking about what it is that you can actually do. So in your case, you're doing the podcast. I did the book. Other people were doing their own sketch shows. There's all kinds of things that you can do and create your own opportunities and get noticed that way.
Yeah, I think you're really right. I went to an interview for a BBC role a little while ago, not with any seriousness about becoming an apprentice and like leaving my family and living in London for a year and writing for shows, but just like, oh, I wonder what they want. And I sat in the kind of interview room with, you know, a bunch of other people, and they were like, yeah, we kind of want people who are like living what they want to do, even though they might not have the opportunity yet. So it's like, well, if you want to do comedy, then write comedy and make shows, even if you haven't got a producer, you know, or a production company that's paying for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're at a point now where it's getting harder and harder to do this because it's getting easier to do it, if you see what I mean.
Yeah,
you know, it's getting easier to do it, and so it's become more difficult to do it. So it's a case of like reflecting on why we're actually doing it. What is it that brought us to this in the first place? What is it that we really like doing? That's another reason why I pursued the book, because quite often I'm writing for shows and it's not actually the kind of thing I want to be doing, or it's working on a project and I'm like, this isn't really my humor. I can write it, and it's a skill to write to a brief and to a tone of, you
know, somebody else's brief.
But I just want to do the purest version of, this is me and this is what I think is funny and this is what I think is good. In the same way like you're doing with this show.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. Yeah, as you say, otherwise you're kind of skewing your art into somebody else's brief.
And that's the thing that a lot of people miss. Yeah. They get frustrated by it because they think they're some kind of undiscovered genius that's got this idea, got this amazing script, and everyone is an idiot because they won't pick it up. But actually, if you want to be a working comedy writer or kids writer, it is about being able to write to somebody else's voice and someone else's style and tone, and write for an audience that may not be you. You know, I write primarily for kids.
That's the job, right? Especially when someone else is putting the paycheck. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
T- So to put this together, it looks like you're in a partnership. You've got a kind of creative partnership with an illustrator. So do you want to talk a little bit about Johnny, is it?
Yeah, so Johnny Schumann is, it's his first time illustrating. So it's my first time writing a book, his first time illustrating.
Oh, cool.
But we both work in animation. So he's a creative producer and director. And a friend of mine who's a TV writer, he suggested that he would be a good person to speak to for some artwork. So I approached him, gave him the text for the book, and he really liked it. And so we started working together.
So before you came up with the idea for this book, did you try anything else? Or has this really been your first mission into the children's illustrated book world?
Yeah, so it started off unplanned. I was out for a day trip with my family, and I was, you know, as you do, you try and take a picture. So I was trying to take a photo of them. Some of them wanted snack. I've got three kids, so they wanted snacks. They wanted to keep going. They were tired.
arguing, fighting.
Yeah, exactly. All of that kind of stuff. They wouldn't take this picture. And I was like, why is it so difficult? Can you just say cheese and take this picture?
Right.
And then that got me thinking about this character. And it's like, you know, the different things that we say when we get photos, you know, say cheese, say silly sausages and things like that. And I thought, actually, there's something in here that there's a story here. And I think it's a book rather than a TV show. It felt like a one-off idea. So I started developing that book and that was 21. I started working on it. So I haven't been writing it all that time. I wrote it quite quickly.
Sure.
And then I've just basically been sat on it for a while, and I've sent it out to a few people. I put it into a competition and came second place in the competition. So I knew there was something to the book.
Yeah. But, okay. So you've been tinkering with the idea a bit and sort of testing it.
Yeah, so it was kind of just one of those things that as work started to slow down, I was thinking, what can I do? And it came to mind.
So let's assume we're in the future, because obviously we're recording this a little bit in the past in advance. How can people kind of get involved and find out a bit more about the book?
Yeah, so that's something I haven't mentioned, actually, is that it's going to be on Kickstarter. For those who don't know, it's a platform for raising money for creative projects. If you've got a film, if you've got a podcast, you know, whatever it is, in my case, the book, you can put it out there to people, present your idea, and then anyone who believes in it can give you some money. So it's on the platform called Kickstarter. It's completely secure. They've been going for 15 years. So it's a safe place to spend your money. Easiest way probably is just to go to kickstarter.com, search bar at the top and type in Cheese the Book, or even just Cheese. I don't think there's that many cheesy projects on there. You go on there, take a look at it, and you can see the different options. When you pledge money, you get rewards. So you can get things like ebooks, paperbacks, signed books, all kinds of different rewards that you can get in exchange for giving money.
Oh, that sounds really
good. I'm also aware that people like yourself know me as a writer, as a comedy writer, rather than a kid's author. And they might not have kids. They might not be interested in a picture book. So there's also some things on there for people who are more interested in writing. There's a guide, like a PDF guide, a mini guide about getting started in comedy writing.
Oh, that's cool.
Or bringing your career to the next level. So if you don't like the idea of a book about a piece of cheese taking photos, you can go for that guide instead.
Perfect. That sounds really good. I do really like cheese, and I've got a child that might be interested in the book, so I'll certainly give it a go. So I know you've provided a few training resources now for comedy writers, such as the Comedy Loser website. Is that something that's more of a focus for you now?
I'm always a little bit cautious around getting into the training, and I also want to stay active. Quite often it feels like people reach a point in their career and
yeah, I know what you're saying,
thinking, right, yeah, now I'm going to pass it all on because I'm kind of done.
Yeah,
so I want to keep moving forward, but I also do like helping people. As you know, we've had conversations a few times about opportunities and things like that, so it's something I'm passionate about.
But
yeah, for now, it's just the guide and also Comedy Loser, the website.
So are there any other projects that you've got kind of in the pipeline, as sort of Bishop and Douch or anything else that you want to talk about before we wrap up?
Yeah, so Bishop and Dowd, like I mentioned earlier, is James Bishop, my writing partner. We met in W.H. Smith's. We both worked together in W.H. Smith's and both had aspirations to be writers. So we started working together
You were
then.
working there. You weren't in the queue for some kind of
No,
some
no,
credits
no.
or anything.
We were
Right.
working together. So we
Got
spent a
it.
lot of time together just messing around and just getting into little scrapes in the shop.
Brilliant.
And that kind of led to us writing together. I do most of my kids' writing with James. He's also an author. He wrote some books,
Right.
Iguana Boy trilogy, and another one called The Worst Day Ever or something like that. He's
Right.
going to get annoyed at me for forgetting that. But yeah, so we work on animation shows mainly together. We've got a couple of things we're working on. We're head writing a show at the minute, and we're also there's another thing kind of linked to Cheese is a lot of our work is taking picture books and turning them into TV shows.
Oh, cool.
So we do that with studios quite regularly, and
Right.
that's something we're working on currently.
That's really cool. It's good that you've got that experience and now you're sort of writing the book before someone maybe does that to your project. So that ties up really well. That makes a lot of
I mean,
sense.
You mentioned you're a parent, and so you would know yourself that there's this kind of relationship between picture books and TV that a lot of TV shows that come out started off as picture books. You look at CBeebies currently, you've got things like Super Tato on there, all kinds of things that started as books. But then also it goes the other way. So if you go into a shop, there's Bluey books and things like that. So the TV shows turn into books and the books turn into TV shows.
Right.
So it's a similar format.
Yeah, it makes sense to sort of pollinate between the two things and sometimes go in one way. So another time it's like, okay, we've got the show now, let's do the books because the kids will probably want those as well. Okay, well, that sounds really cool. Brilliant. Well, thank you very much for telling me about your awesome project. And I'll definitely put a link to Cheese in the pod notes for this podcast and to your Restored website, the Comedy Loser, the writer's website, because I do think those are really good resources for people. So just to wrap this up, assuming this all goes well, what are your kind of plans for the next few months as this all moves forward?
If we complete the Kickstarter and we raise the money, then obviously we get to work producing the book and getting all of the final illustrations done and things like that. So it's looking like it'll be between winter and spring next year that it'll get released. So around that time, we can have a catch up.
Brilliant. That sounds great. Thanks, Chris. So thanks again for coming on the show. Obviously, we wish you all the best with Cheese and really look forward to catching up again soon. Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, I hope you enjoyed my chat with Chris. What a nice guy. I'm super excited about his book project. So next we've got a little comedy sketch for you that I've written and brought to life with another friend of mine. It's someone you might recognise. I've been thinking about the joys of shopping online and how much technology can help us with the choices that we have to make. Anyway, bring on the comedy sketch, I hear you say. So here we go. Can you help me? I need some toothpaste to add to my shop this week.
Oh, really? Got a date this weekend. Doing something special. It's about time you got out, based on your recent browsing history.
Right, well, yes. I am off out, actually. It's my birthday next week.
Oh, that's nice. Is it a special birthday?
Not really. I'm 37.
So you're not 25? Like it says on your dating profiles.
Look, I need to get back to work soon, so what toothpaste have you got that I can add to my order?
Well, let's see. So, do you have sensitivity issues?
Well, I am feeling a bit anxious now, and the other day somebody at work was quite rude to me, and then...
No. Are your teeth sensitive?
Let's say they aren't, but don't be so mean.
What do you think of Extreme White Pro?
I'm not a racist, so I wouldn't join a group like that.
How are the gums? Do you have bleeding gums?
Ha, everyone's got bleeding gums, mate. Otherwise, our bleeding teeth would fall out.
Don't get clever. I do the jokes on this one.
Sorry.
So, do you want mint toothpaste?
Easy one. Yeah, I'm in for mint, always. Is there really much to choose from?
Well, there's peppermint.
Oh, sure, yeah, there's peppermint. Anything else?
Spearmint, fresh mint, apple mint. Menthol mint, jasmine mint, wild mint, super mint, common mint, royal mint, Allen Minter. Moroccan mint, mega mint, minted mint, garden mint, and classic mint.
Ooh, I quite like the sound of mega mint.
Sorry. Mega mint is out of stock, and it looks like it's only for use in a combat situation. So, do you want me to go through the list again?
No, please don't. Okay, classic mint sounds fine.
What kind of cleaning and finish do you want?
What? Now it sounds like a car wash.
Spring fresh, stain-free and whiter than white.
Yeah, I'll have that.
Sorry, that might be laundry detergent.
Okay, well, what would you recommend?
Based on recent purchases, I've got a book about birds, some earmuffs, some incontinence pants and a deck chair. Want it delivered by Thursday?
Yeah, okay, I'll take it. Shopping is so much easier now it's online these days. Okay, hope you enjoyed that. That one was hot off the back of the sketch writing course that I did with Dave Cohen in March this year. So next, we might just have time for a couple of recycled news jokes before we go. A scientist from the University of Aberystwyth has recently determined the age of a sand dune in Morocco. Given the other challenges in the world, he really has had his head in the sand. Some props from Hollywood films have recently been auctioned by Planet Hollywood, including the raft from the end scene of the film Titanic. Surprisingly, Leonardo DiCaprio wasn't interested in it. Well, it was over 25 years old. And finally, the Thames Super Sewer in London is now close to completion after 8 years of construction work. Apparently, the tunnel is wide enough to accommodate 3 buses, although Thames Water have once again asked their residents not to flush buses down the toilet. Thanks again for listening to this edition of the Cheeky Chops podcast. Catch you on the next one. Okay, it's credits time, so thanks again to Upbeat.io for sound effects, and All Good Folks on the same platform for our theme music. Thanks to Audacity for their super free audio software that I use to mash this thing together, and also to Podbean for hosting the show. Thanks to Chris Dausch, my guest, and thanks to you for listening. Bye for now.